Matthew 16, the church that Christ builds. Now this is the first time in verse 18 that the word church is mentioned in the Bible. It's not in the Old Testament. And in the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it's only used twice. Both times by the Lord Jesus. Both times, just two times. Right here in Matthew. The apostles used the word frequently and often in their epistles. But while our Lord was ministering here on the earth in the flesh, when he was instructing his disciples, he used the word church two times. And the apostles used it many times thereafter. And it's very significant. It's very significant and most important for us to note that in the first mention of the church, the very first mention by our Lord, he connected the church with the right knowledge of himself. To know Christ is to be in the church. Not to know Christ and who he is and what he did, where he is not to be in the church. No matter what name we wear. But he connects it with himself. Now watch this. Here in Matthew 16. And he asked them in verse 13, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples. Now read this carefully. Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And he then asked his disciples, whom do you say that I, the Son of Man, am? He asked them, whom do you say that I am? But whom do they say that I, the Son of Man, the man Jesus Christ? That's the only way they looked at him. That's the way the world looked at him. He was in the world, and the world didn't know him. He came into his own. His own received him not. They said, this is the carpenter, a wine bibber, a gluttonous man. We know his mother and father. We know his sons, his brothers and sisters. So he asked them, well, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, Jesus of Nazareth? And they told him. People out there don't agree on who you are. They say you're a whole lot of different things. Some say you're John the Baptist, risen from the dead. Some say you're Elijah. Some say you're Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. They've got a lot of ideas about who you are. None of them right. None of them right. But then he asked them this question. He said, but whom do you say that I am? Now you know that goes back to the rock. I mean the burning bush goes back to the burning bush in Exodus. When Moses stood at that bush and the voice of God spoke to him and told him he'd go down and lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. And he said, well, they're going to ask me who sent me. Who this God is that sent me. What's thy name? What shall I say? Tell them, I am that I am. And that's what our Lord is saying to these disciples. Whom do you say? I am. And Peter answered. And Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ. Thou art the Son of the living God. And Peter, Christ said, Peter, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. Flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. Flesh and blood, those folks out there just answered the flesh and blood opinion of Christ. Elijah, John the Baptist, Jeremiah, one of the prophets. But my Father, which is in heaven, he revealed to you who I am and that I am. And I say unto you that you are Peter. And that word is Cephas, or a stone. And upon this rock, I'll build my church, first time. And I say, you're Peter. You're a stone. And upon this confession, upon this knowledge of who I am, upon this confession, and this knowledge of who I am, that's the foundation of my church. I'll build my church. This is a question to be put to any who would be in the church, this church. This is the question to put to any person who would be in this church. Who is he? Whom say you that I am? If you can't answer that question, you don't belong in his church. You're not a part of his church. Whom do you say that I am? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. One cannot be right in anything pertaining to God unless he's right on who Christ is. No one can be in his church, in his kingdom, in his covenant, or rejoice in his heaven who does not confess from his soul that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's right. In all things, it's first Christ and then the church. If you're going to preach on the church, you've got to first preach Christ. Because this is the foundation. This is the confession. This is the knowledge on which I'll build my church. This, Christ is first and then the church. There's a whole lot of preaching today which centers on the church. And there's a lot of talk about its creed, its covenants, its government, its laws, its origin, its succession, its name, its ordinances. But our chief concern is Christ, its head. Christ, then the church. Christ is the root, we're the branches. Christ is the head, we're the body. Christ is the builder, the church is the building. And follow that with that over in Hebrews 3. Turn over there with me. Christ is the builder, the church is the building. And who's the greater? The building or the building? All right, let's read in Hebrews 10, verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him. God appointed Christ, our Redeemer, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. And this man, Jesus Christ, was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. That's don't exalt the church. Call people's attention to the church. It's Christ. He's the root. We're the branches. He's the head. We're the body. He's the builder. We're the building. And outside of this circle of believers, wherever they are, outside of the circle of believers, Jesus of Nazareth is a dozen different things. But inside this circle of believers, Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. And men may talk of divisions in the churches, and yea, there are many. But in the true church, of which he's the foundation and the head and the builder, there are no divisions. Those who are taught of God are one mind regarding the chief one, Jehovah God. One mind, one heart, one confession. And if tonight I should go over this world and select 1,000 different believers and march them one at a time up these steps and across this platform and in front of this pulpit and ask each of them this question: who is Jesus of Nazareth? Without a doubt, every one of them would say, he's the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's right. Every one of them. There are no divisions in regard to who he is. He is this Christ, the Son of the living God, who redeemed us to God by his blood out of every kindred, nation, tongue, and people on this earth. It's Christ. And then talk about the church. All right, I'm going to divide this message into four parts. Our Lord mentions four things here. First of all, he says there's a building. There is a building. Peter, on this rock, I will build my church. Well, let's see what Peter says about that building, that church. Turn with me to 1 Peter. chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. Verse 4 and 5. 1 Peter 2, 4 and 5. I will build my church. Now, church is not a material structure. The church is a spiritual house. The church is not a national organization. The Catholic Church, the Presbyterian Church, the Methodist Church, the Baptist Church. No, it's not a national organization. The church is not even a denomination. It's a spiritual house. Look at 1 Peter 2, verse 4. To whom coming as unto a living stone, this is Christ, disallowed indeed of men, rejected of men, despised of men, but he's chosen of God and precious, you also are living stones. You weren't living when he found you. You were dead in the rock quarry of human depravity, and he found you. But now you're a living stone, and you're built up a spiritual house, a spiritual temple, a church, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. When the average person on the street is asked about his church, he will tell you about the building where he worships on Sunday. When the Catholic mentions the church, he means the Roman Catholic hierarchy ruled over by the Pope, the Cardinals, and the Bishops. When the Protestant leaders speak of the church, they refer to their denomination, the Methodist Church, the Anglican Church, the Presbyterian Church, the Lutheran Church. When the Independent speaks of the church, he means his local assembly, where he's a member, where he takes the Lord's Supper, where he was baptized. And most of the time, when the apostles talk about the church, they're talking about that local assembly. When the apostles talk about the church at Galatia, that's not this church Christ is talking about here in Matthew 16. The church at Ephesus, the church at Thessalonica, the church at Ashland, the church at Lexington, the church at Danville, those are individual, autonomous, indigenous, separate, independent assemblies that meet together with pastors, elders who worship God. Churches. Churches. And Christ meets in that church. Turn to Matthew 18. Matthew 18. Matthew 18, verse 15. Now, this is the second time he mentions the word church. First time, he's talking about that church of the firstborn whose names are written in heaven. He's talking about that church in which there's not a lost person, not a tare or chaff. It's the redeemed of all ages, given to Christ in a covenant of grace. But here, he's talking about the local assembly. Now watch it. Matthew 18. Christ recognizes both. He says in verse 15, moreover, if your brother shall trespass against you, he did something wrong. Now you go tell him his fault between you and him alone. You go tell him you're offended with him, and he's offended you. And if he hears you, you've gained your brother. This is our Lord speaking now. But if he won't hear you, take with you one or two more friends, brethren, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. But if he will not hear them, tell it to the church. And if he neglect to hear the church, the elders and the men of the church, and when the church makes an observation, a decision concerning this conflict, if he won't hear the church, then let him be counted you a heathen and a publican. You see, our Lord's talking about 13th Street Baptist Church or the church at Galatia. He's saying two brethren have a quarrel. Y'all settle it. Don't make it a church matter. Y'all settle it. And if you can't settle it, then get some of the brothers and y'all settle it. But now if he continues to be a vagabond and a rebel, then take it to the church and let the church make a decision. And he's got to hear the church. If he doesn't hear the church, is missing. So the Lord's talking about, but now here in Matthew 16, our Lord's not talking about local assemblies. He's not talking about churches at all. He said, I'll build my church. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. And the Lord is speaking here of His elect. He's speaking here of that blessed company of God's children in heaven and earth. He's speaking of the household of faith. That's what He calls it, the household of faith. He's speaking of the call of Christ Jesus. He's speaking of the church which He purchased with His own blood. Purchased, paid for, redeemed, washed in the blood of the Lamb. He's speaking of the multitude that shall be assembled in His presence and glory, not one missing. He's speaking of the sheep of His pasture. He's speaking of the bride of Christ. He's speaking of those who are called by His name, the Lord our righteousness. I'll build my church. Let's read about in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. Now, and I try to tell people with all my heart, I love the local New Testament church. I'm pastor one, been pastor one for years and years and years. I believe preachers are trained by the churches. I believe missionaries are sent out from the churches. I believe the churches have been given charge or authority over the distributing the ordinances, the baptism, and elders and making elders and ordaining preachers, and that's churches. But that's not the church. The church is made up of every true believer. Now let's listen to this right here. He says in Ephesians 5, verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. Christ is the head of the church. He's the Savior of the body, the church and the body. This is not bodies. He has one body. He doesn't have a bunch of bodies. He's got one. One church, one body. Therefore, as the church is subject to Christ, so let the husband be to the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. There isn't any way in this world you can put the 13th Street Baptist Church in that place there. This is the elect of God. Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of the water, by the word, cleanse the whole church, every believer, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church. Not glorious churches, but a glorious church. Not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Look at Ephesians 1. Why are you in Ephesians? Ephesians 1, verse 22. It says here that the Father hath put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things in the church. Now, Hebrews 2. Let's go to Hebrews 2. And Paul talks in Hebrews about this church. Hebrews 2, verse 11 and 12. Hebrews 2, 11 and 12. For, Hebrews 2, 11, for both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. One. For which cause he's not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the church, that I sing praise unto thee. There are churches literally everywhere, all kinds, shapes, forms. But there's one glorious, sanctified, redeemed, blood-washed church, which is the body of Christ. Look at Hebrews 12. And we read about it here. Hebrews 12, verse 22. Hebrews 12, verse 22. He says, you are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God. This is all one covenant, one people. Zion, city of the living God, heaven of Jerusalem, an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly, to the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. I build my church. The Lord is speaking here of His elect. And in this church, there are no tares. There's no chaff. There's no false professors. There's no unbelievers. They've all been born of God, repented of sin, believed on Christ, made new creatures in Christ, and they're all accepted in the Beloved, and every one of them are looking for His return. Build my church. All right, secondly, there's a building. Now, secondly, there's a builder. The Lord Jesus said, I will build my church. I will build my church. Well, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is tenderly loved and cared for by all three persons in the Blessed Trinity. The Father loved us. The Father chose us. The Father gave us to Christ. The Father accepted us in the Beloved. The Holy Spirit quickened us. The Holy Spirit convicted us. The Holy Spirit teaches us. The Holy Spirit sanctifies us. And the Holy Spirit comforts us. But Christ said, I'll build my church. He's the builder. It says in Acts 2, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. He's the builder. He alone can open the door. He alone can add to the church. Until He opens, no man will open. And when He opens, no man will shut. Take, for example, the thief on the cross. He was never baptized. He was never received in the local church. He was never voted on. He was never given the bread and the wine. He never had a human pastor. And he may not be recognized by a lot of people, but he was received by Christ into His church and taken with Him to glory. And all the religious organizations and power in this world can't exclude Him. That's the church I want to be a part of. I'll be on the church. Salvation of the Lord. I jotted down some things that only refer to Christ in this thing of building His church. Number one, He gives us life. The Son quickeneth whom He will. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life. Secondly, He redeemed us by His blood. Christ redeemed me by His blood. With His stripes, I'm healed. He gives me peace. He says, my peace I give unto you. He gives me rest. He said, you come to me, I'll give you rest. And the more you learn of me, the more rest you'll find. He makes me a son of God. To as many as receive Him, to them gave He the power to be a son of God. He keeps me from falling. Now unto Him, it's able to keep us from falling. He presents me holy and unblameable before the Father in His divine presence. He intercedes for me. I've got one mediator between me and God. One. Jesus Christ the righteous. And one day, He'll come for me. I'm not waiting on a millennium. I'm waiting for the King of the millennium. I'm not waiting for an event. I'm waiting for Him. I'm not waiting for a wedding. I'm waiting for the bridegroom. Right? Get that through our heads. And we won't be disturbed by all the, by this, what's his name, Van Antwerp or something. I wish the Lord heard him come so he'd get off the air, don't you? He said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. That where I am there, you may be. I'll build my church. And He'll keep me to the river. Lord, just water's at my feet. And then he'll bear me safely over where my Savior I shall meet. All right, let's look at this text again. There's a building. He called it his church. I will build my church. There's a builder. But there's a foundation. There's a foundation. Go back and read verse 17. Peter said, verse 16, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the Lord Jesus answered and said, Blessed art thou, Simon, by Jonah, son of Jonah. Flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto you that you are Cephas, a stone. Upon this rock I'll build my church. Well, my friends, that rock's not Peter. It can't be. The cornerstone of the Lord's church is not this fallible man, Peter. The foundation is Christ. Christ and the mighty truth God revealed to Peter. Who Christ is. What Christ did. And why he did. Let's let Peter describe that in himself. Turn back to that text in 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Let me read a couple of more verses. 1 Peter 2. Go back and start where we were. Christ, the foundation, was laid at a mighty cost, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And to that foundation, every believer as a living stone is joined. This church is a spiritual house, a living temple, the house of God. Christ, the cornerstone, every believer, a living stone in that house. All right, read Peter here, 1 Peter 2, 4. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, you also, as living stones. That person is not saved, doesn't know Christ, who he is. He's not a living stone. You don't put dead stones in a living building on a spiritual house. This is, you as living stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also is contained in the Scriptures. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. He that believeth on him shall not be ashamed, shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he's precious. But unto them that are disobedient, religious or non-religious, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. And to them, to you he's precious. To them he's a stone of stumbling. He's a rock of offense. Even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto they were appointed. But you, my church, your chosen generation, chosen by God, your royal priesthood, he's made us kings and priests. That's the royal priesthood, the king priest. Your holy nation, holy and righteous in his righteousness. You're a peculiar or purchased people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, wherein which in time past were not a people, but now you're the people of God. You had not obtained mercy, but now you've obtained mercy. Christ is the foundation. Turn to Matthew 7 just a moment. I believe this scripture in Matthew 7 relates to this rock. The two or three verses I want to show you here. Matthew 7. Matthew 7, verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I liken him unto a wise man who built his house on a rock. That rock is Christ. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell not. It was founded on a rock. Now, one other scripture, Isaiah 28. I believe that Peter was quoting Isaiah 28 over there, as we just read, "Behold, I lay in Zion a tried stone, chief cornerstone." And here's what he was quoting from the Old Testament. Isaiah 28, verse 14. God rebukes the religious people who speak in His name but do not know Him. Verse 14, Isaiah 28, 14. "Wherefore hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men that rule this people which is in Jerusalem." That was the religious rulers, Pharisees, and so forth. "Because you've said, we've made a covenant with death. We're not afraid to die. With hell are we at agreement. It's not gonna have anything to do with us. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. We made lies our refuge." We have a refuge. God calls it a refuge of lies. There's only one refuge, and that's Christ. "Under falsehood we hid ourselves. Therefore thus saith the Lord God." Now here's the foundation. Here's Christ. "Behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a tried stone." He was tried, kept in all points as we are, yet without sin. A precious cornerstone. To you that believe, He's precious. To the Father, He's precious. His blood's precious. He's a sure foundation. All who are built on Him are redeemed eternally, forever. "And he that believeth shall not make haste, shall not be ashamed, shall not be confounded." That's our foundation. All right. Matthew 16. And one final point. There's a building. I'll build my church. There's a builder. I'll build my church. There's a foundation upon this rock. Thou art the Christ. Thou art the Christ. Thou art the Son of the living God, who came to earth and worked out a perfect obedience, and died on the cross, redeemed us by His blood, went back to glory where He intercedes, and come again for us. That's our foundation. Now here's the church succession. Listen. "And the gates of hell." What are the gates of hell? Well, the gates of hell are the powers of evil. "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers, rulers of the darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places." The head of the church has enemies, and his church has enemies. And these enemies are the gates of hell. They're the powers of evil and sin and darkness and death. The history of God's church has been a history of conflict. "Which of the prophets did not your fathers stone? All of the apostles were martyred except one." People killed them, just like they killed their Lord. "The early church was scattered because of persecution, harassment. They ridiculed them and called them the people of the way. Saul of Tarsus said, 'I went to Damascus, and if I found any of that way,'" well, there were plenty of synagogues and temples and religious organizations, "but if I find any of that way, I'll put them in prison and I'll kill them." The history of Christ's church has been one of conflict, persecution, harassment, and war. Satan hates the true church. He hates this church. I tell you this, and I'm not ashamed to say this, and it's true. He's in league with a lot of churches. That's where Satan operates, in false religion. His ministers are called ministers of righteousness. Not Christ's righteousness, but man's righteousness. Satan hates the true church. Satan hates the true Redeemer. The world hates the true Redeemer and hates his church and hates his prophets and hates his apostles. And while the world's religious organizations have times of peace, and human glory and recognition, and they call on them to pray at all the special national events. But this church has never had a day of peace. Not in this world. In me you have peace. In this world you have tribulation. That's what he said. I didn't come to send peace, but a sword. While the world's religious organizations had peace, not the true church. The world's not at peace with this church. And this church not at peace with the world. But we're at peace with Christ. But he promises here, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Thou preparest a table before them in the presence of mine enemies. He spreads the table. And it's delicious, it's soul satisfying, it's peaceful, restful, joyful in the presence of our enemies. And empires have risen and fallen, but this church lives on. And great cities have become heaps of ruins, but his church goes on. Mighty kings have been overthrown, and his church lives on. Powerful religious organizations have risen, rule their day, and disappear. His church goes on. On this rock, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, and all related to that, and all that he is and did, and where he is now, and his glorious covenant and kingdom. On this rock, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will never prevail against it. They'll try. He didn't say they'll never attack it. He said they'll never prevail. They'll never win the battle. And one of the poets wrote this. Listen. Talk about these stones, these living stones. Scattered over all the earth, they lie. These stones watched over by God's eye. And then each one drawn by the power of his name. And he builds them into a beautiful frame. And for this purpose, his sovereign spirit groans and gathers all these chosen ones. Greatest of gifts, his love imparts and makes them one in mind and heart. And the Spirit joins every soul that looks to thee in bonds of perfect charity. And the gates of hell shall not prevail. This church, his church, will never fail. Let's put that to music, wouldn't you? Oh, my. And he said in verse 19, let me give you this because somebody's going to ask this. And Peter, I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever I shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. What are these keys? Well, Peter doesn't have the keys to eternal life. Scripture says on his side are the keys of hell and death. Christ has those keys. He opens and no man shuts. He shuts and no man's open. These keys are the gospel. I've got them right here. It's the gospel. The people who preach the gospel. He's given Peter and the apostle the gospel. And they go out. It's the key to life. It's the key to truth. It's the key to heaven. It's the key. It's Christ. And we preach Christ. And those who receive it and they're bound together here will be bound in heaven. And those who won't receive it and they leave it, they've left heaven too. That's what he's saying there. No question about that. No question about that. All right, let's sing a closing hymn. Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love.